Muggles with Attitude is brought to you by the Armadillo Podcasting Club.
Did you know that armadillos don't urinate? They can, but they're super pee shy and they always travel in groups, so they just never do.
It's a real problem.
Pee shy. For more armadillo-related facts and to find out how you can access episodes a day early, check us out at patreon.com/armadillopodcastingclub.
Hogwarts, Hogwarts, Hoggywarty, Hogwarts.
Hello there, you're listening to Muggles with Attitude. We're reading J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series of fantasy novels. I'm Alice Sullivan.
I'm Jeff Lake.
And I'm Mike Sparkman.
I like the dramatic pause. And today we are reading chapters 29 through 33 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the seventh and final book in the Harry Potter series. Last time.
Previously, after half-assedly laying Dobby to rest, Harry and his gang are ready for another heist. Full of confidence from their questionable success at the Ministry of Magic, now it's time to take on Gringotts, the impenetrable wizard vault. It turns out that impenetrable is a bit of an exaggeration, though. Apparently all it takes is a Confundus charm and a couple of illegal curses. So they score their loot and escape. And by escape, I mean they demolish Gringotts on Dragonback while screaming, "I'm Harry fucking Potter." Now, that's also where Harry keeps all his gold, if you remember. But, you know, he's never been really a long-term thinker. So he's like, hey, this is it. So Harry's like, breaking into shit is fun. Let's try Hogwarts next. Everyone's always talking about how hard it is to break into that place. Guys, my magic scar says Voldemort's got a Horcrux there. So I guess, I don't know. Where in Hogwarts? I don't know. Somewhere. So they meet Professor Dumbledore's goat-fucking brother, who actually seems pretty nice, you know? He even hooks him up with a magic back door. So I guess they're breaking into Hogwarts now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Chapter 29, The Lost Diadem. Neville is filling them in on how things are going at Hogwarts, and it doesn't sound great.
You know, I got to get the impression that whatever happened at Hogwarts was way more interesting than whatever we just sat through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Death Eaters running around and like torturing students and stuff versus camping for a few months.
Yeah, for the travel chapters of Harry Potter.
Don't you remember that time that he didn't talk to Ron for a little while?
Yeah, that was
pretty dramatic.
That's good drama, yeah.
Yeah.
When you don't talk to someone.
But honestly, it sounds like they could have used Harry Potter, you know? They need someone with enough kills under his belt that keeps the new folks in line, you know?
I don't know if Harry Potter would have been able to keep it together in this scenario, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that either all the students would be dead or all the teachers would be dead if Harry Potter had been there. I mean,
it would be sorted out either way, right?
That's true.
Well, with the three of them gone, though, Neville gets to be the head badass there, and he is awesome. He is standing up to the Death Eaters and refusing to torture students, which is like, what the fuck? Like, how would that be a thing in the first place?
No, I know, right?
Right.
And I love this part. They try to use Neville's grandmother against him as like leverage.
Uh-huh.
And apparently she's a badass.
They
send Dawless.
I know. I don't give that to you.
Like, I feel like this guy spends a lot of time in St. Mungo's. You know?
Like, I know he's a Death Eater, but that poor motherfucker.
I know. It's like
is he a Death Eater?
No, I'm not even sure he is.
See, we thought he just worked for the ministry, but the way Neville was talking, like they went after Neville's grand, and there was no reason to go after her unless they were Death Eaters, is my understanding.
It could just be that he's been so confundus that he doesn't know what he's doing anymore.
Like, probably.
Like he's had a lot of issues.
Dawlish Death Eater? Okay.
They're like, okay, just go talk to her or something.
Yeah. We're just gonna send you to go talk to a, you know, 100-year-old woman, but you know, it'll be fine. But it's not, because Neville's grandmother is even cooler than Neville.
I know.
Mm-hmm. But they're living in the Room of Requirement. So that's handy. They get to take the tunnel all the way from Hogsmeade to Hogwarts, and they end up in the Room of Requirement, and there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah, they turned this Room of Requirement into some pretty sweet digs. They've got hammocks everywhere. They've got, like, a little, like, bathroom. It's got, it's got men's and women's restrooms, I guess. I don't know.
So right, it's like, because they need them, right?
Yeah. Okay.
they did say something about how, like, and then some girls started hanging out in this room, and all of a sudden we had bathrooms.
yeah, which makes you wonder, well, no, just don't think about it.
Yeah, right.
Don't pull that thread, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the moment we've we've been building up to for 7 books. Harry Potter activates Harry Potter's army.
He does. Yeah.
Team of child soldiers trained by and loyal only to Harry.
Yep, mm-hmm. The entire DA is there, including the Patel twins and a lot of names that we remember. And it's really clever. Neville has figured out how to get the passage to Hogshead because apparently he was wishing for something to eat. And the room of requirement was just like, here you go. Here's, you know, passage to a bar, which hopefully has food.
Yeah.
So, good for him.
It's like, I'm really hungry. And the passage opens up. Yeah. Have a drink.
Glad he wasn't thinking about how horny he was or something.
Well, he just didn't talk about that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what was, you know, so hungry, but you know.
I mean, if you're a teenage boy and you're in a magic room that'll give you whatever you want, like, it's going to get gross.
I do think it's interesting that they mentioned that the reason that it has to do that is because it can't create food, because that's one of the wizard magic rules or whatever. You can't mm-hmm. create food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Room of Requirement can provide just about anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could it provide them with rifles?
I imagine so.
Body armor?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's done stuff like that before.
So then why don't they just do that? Why don't they get some magic weapons?
You know,
can it provide them with a time turner?
You know, that's a good question.
There's going to be a lot of questions in these chapters. But anyway, Harry gets a vision. Voldemort has realized that the Gaunt Ring Horcrux is gone, and he's mad.
Yeah, he's not. You know, it's Voldemort's having a rough time at this point, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's not a good day.
No. Maybe his worst day.
But anyways, because Harry has magically activated his army, a bunch of other people show up, including Ginny, Fred and George, Luna, Dean, Cho Chang.
Yeah, is this where the whole Weasley family shows up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Weasleys are there, and Harry decides to trust the DA, and he tells them he needs something from Ravenclaw.
Yeah, so Luna takes him up to the Ravenclaw common room, and to get in, you have to take a quiz, which is pretty Ravenclaw,
yeah, uh-huh.
to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool, the idea that if you don't know the answer, you have to wait for someone else so they can teach you. I mean, it's a little wankery, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I imagine the test to get into the Hufflepuff room is you have to smoke a J.
Or just, like, scarf an entire, like, bucket of wings or something. Like that.
So I like the bit where Harry shows up and they're all like, we kept it together. It's Dumbledore's army, Harry. Now, what's the plan? And not only does Harry not have a plan, he didn't even consider the idea that there might need to be a plan.
Yeah, no, that's not what he does, remember?
Yeah, that's not.
He was like, Harry Potter thing. The last plan was like, I found a dragon, so like, do you guys have a dragon? No? All right, well.
Oh, fuck.
Well, good, it threw me
away.
Hermione!
Got all wet. But he gets to go see the bust of Rowena Ravenclaw, so at least he knows what the diadem looks like, even if nobody knows where it is.
This whole time I was thinking that diadem on the statue is probably the real diadem. That would be like a fake-out thing for them to do.
Oh, the one that's actually on the bust right there? It was just like covered in concrete or...
That's what I kept thinking.
Or using a charm or something?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it should have been. That would have worked. That would have been wizardy enough, right?
Yeah, a Concreticus Illusionicus.
But meanwhile, Electa Caro, who's one of the Death Eater teachers, catches them and summons Voldemort.
Yeah, of course Harry walks right into a trap because... Like, that's what Harry does, right? Like,
it is.
It's not the first time, not the last time. It's kind of Harry Potter's whole being.
Mm-hmm.
Can't resist an obvious trap.
Chapter 30, The Sacking of Severus Snape. Luna stuns Electa, which is impressive.
Yeah, right? Solid spell work.
Mm-hmm.
But not before she's able to summon Voldemort, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Electo's brother Amicus is outside the door and trying to get in and freaking out about it. And McGonagall shows up.
Yeah, so this Death Eater is like... I'm going to blame the kids for, you know, whatever.
It's pretty despicable.
Yeah, yeah. But he makes a terrible mistake. He fucks with McGonagall, and Harry likes her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Harry just sees red.
He's like, what?
Amicus spits in her face, so that is when the moment Harry decides he needs to use the Cruciatus Curse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, so this is... He's done them all now, right? He completed the set?
He hasn't tried...
He's tried Avada Kedavra, hasn't he?
Yeah, he tried to use it on Bellatrix Lestrange, and when she was like, oh, you have to mean it! And he's like, well, I guess I didn't mean it, but but yeah, he's now used all the unforgivable curses.
Yeah, and this one right in front of the teacher, right? Right in front of McGonagall.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this, you know,
And
wizard crime?
He actually uses it so badly that Amicus smashes into a bookcase and is knocked unconscious. And McGonagall is like, that's very chivalrous of you, Harry. I don't know if she's terrified of him or if she's, you know, just a sociopath like most wizards are.
She's been around Harry Potter a lot. She's like, she knows how to play this situation. Good job, Harry. You win.
Thanks, Harry. But he tells McGonagall that he needs time to search for something on Dumbledore's orders. And so McGonagall summons the other heads of houses and they come up with a plan to give him time.
Yep. And Snape tries to start some shit.
He does.
Big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. McGonagall's ready to go, and then I think Flitwick shows up, and then it's just like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Snape bails.
Yep. Yeah. They've made a plan. Oh, yeah. McGonagall actually duels him, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, he flies off after Flitwick, Sprout, and Slughorn appear. And so they've come up with this plan. They're going to protect Hogwarts so Harry can do whatever it is he has to do. Because Voldemort is coming! So they come up with some super cool spells to protect everyone. First, they're going to try to evacuate the students, except for those who are old enough and they want to stay and fight for whatever reason.
Yeah. I actually kind of love this part because it's like the school fighting back, you know?
It is super cool. I'm excited to see that in the movie because I remember that being really, really cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the statues and the coats of armor and stuff all come to life to defend them.
Yeah, McGonagall even sends Filch to go get Peeves because, you know, he can weaponize Peeves, right?
Peeves' time to shine.
Yeah. Peeves is kind of a berserker, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. Attack whatever. Yeah. Well, it's really funny later, too. Like, I've read these books many times, but I didn't even catch it at one point later on in these chapters. Harry runs past McGonagall, and she's charmed a bunch of desks, and she's going, charge! And the desks are, like, running after her, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's a useful person to have in a fight.
Oh, yeah. I would have McGonagall on my side anyway. Anytime. But meanwhile, Harry and Luna go back to the Room of Requirement, and the Order of the Phoenix is there, and a whole bunch more people.
Yeah, shit's getting real. Like, a lot of people showing up.
Well, yeah. Voldemort will be there any minute, so thank God. Percy shows up and apologizes. Well, is he still the worst Weasley? Or is Ron the worst Weasley?
I still think Ron's the worst Weasley. I mean, like, Percy's kind of a douchebag, but
now
like...
I think Percy's here, and I remember how much of a prick he is. I think it's Percy. It's Percy.
Is he? Oh, okay. Well, okay. I guess it depends on what your criteria is, because, like, Percy is definitely the douchiest Weasley, right?
Well, okay, in this scenario, which one would you rather have by your side? For sure, Ron, right?
You think so?
No.
No, I think Percy's better...
Percy was really good at school, and Ron's, you know...
Ron.
I feel like Percy would run away. He wouldn't have your back.
I mean, Ron literally did that.
That's a good point. You raised.
Yeah. You know, like I said, depends on your criteria. Percy is definitely the most irritating Weasley, but I think Ron is the least useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Ron, as everyone's showing up, Harry's like, hey, where's Ron and Hermione? And they're like, oh, they went to go find the bathroom. I was like, yeah.
All right.
Hey, baby, world's about to end.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get it. You got to get it when you can.
And
so these people are all coming through Aberforth Passage, right?
That's right.
Did everybody know that this was Dumbledore's brother?
I was kind of wondering.
I don't think it matters, though, right?
Well, I feel like that's something that should have been brought up in the books a lot earlier, that Dumbledore's brother is the bartender of the next town over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, though. Dumbledore was always about, like, keeping secrets,
but
right?
But it seems like everybody knows, right? Everybody's like, well, we went and talked to Aberforth.
Do they? I don't know.
That's the vibe I got, which I was surprised by, because we just met this character for the first time this book.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe they knew all along, but Harry's just incredibly dense and didn't realize, wait, your last name is Dumbledore too? What a coincidence.
Because we've met this character before, just didn't know his name, right? Like, in, was it book three? Or no, book four, right?
When they formed the DA.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's definitely there, but,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they knew because he had been in the Order of the Phoenix the first go-round. So at least the Weasley parents knew that it was Dumbledore's brother.
That's a good point, yeah.
And Hagrid and whoever else was in the Order at the time.
Yeah, and there's been all this, I guess there's been all this stuff about what happened. What's the mysterious past of Dumbledore and his brother? Mm-hmm. And nobody said, go to Hogsmeade and ask him, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No. We're fighting like snakes in historian skin. In order to find out this history instead of just asking the one dude who was there.
Well, it would have been impolite, Jeff.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And we get a great quote from George after Percy apologizes. He says, "Now let's get upstairs and fight, or all the good Death Eaters will be taken," which I liked.
Yeah.
Chapter 31, The Battle of Hogwarts. They are evacuating those students, except those of age who wish to stay and fight.
And all those little students that are too young to fight would sure be good for looking for things, like diadems.
Like searching the castle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think I take exception to Harry's logic in figuring out what this Horcrux is or how where it is and all that stuff.
How so?
Well, it's just this huge leap of logic, you know? He doesn't even know for sure that that's what the Horcrux is. It's just like Dumbledore is like, oh, he's really into Hogwarts history, so it's probably this thing that no one's ever seen. Like, but so Tom Riddle must have found it. Mm-hmm. And then he's trying to figure out where it is, and he doesn't actually do any research or whatever. He just thinks like, oh, he probably hid it in that one room. And then he goes to that room and that's where it is.
We have to keep in mind that Harry Potter's alone now. Like, all the useful people around him are gone, right?
Well, but he's right. That's why I find...
That doesn't mean he did the right thing.
Well, I would argue that there were four houses, right? And they were verified. Like, when they found Hufflepuff's cup, they knew for a fact that, like, he was looking for one artifact from each of the four houses.
Well, they didn't know that for a fact. They knew he used one artifact.
And Slytherin's ring.
Yeah, but it could have... And they don't know for a fact that he found this thing that has been missing for hundreds of years.
Fair enough.
And then hid it again in such a way that it has never been found for hundreds of years.
It is definitely a leap of logic.
Yeah, it's just all of his logic, all of Dumbledore's logic, I find very sketchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Either way, like, watching Harry kind of, like, stumble around here, it becomes obvious that he's not the most useful person in history.
Yeah, but by figure it out, I do mean run around screaming for a while.
Voldemort does a nifty broadcast system thing where he lets everybody know, give me Harry Potter and I will leave you all alone.
Yeah, and the Slytherins are like, yeah, let's do the bad guy thing, right? Right. So
I am on their side, as usual. they're dead on right about this because the Hogwarts administration has always treated Slytherins like crap. And Harry Potter has always had a privileged position without ever doing anything to earn it. Mm-hmm. Why not turn him over, you know?
Yeah. Well, their biggest mistake was being overt about it. Because they should have known that everyone else in the room was going to be against him. They should have been sneaky about it. Been like, yeah, we're going
to... I'm not exactly sure why the Ravenclaws are against this idea.
Well, you know, they like Harry Potter.
Do they?
Yeah, because they're Cho Chang or something. I don't know. Well,
so Cho Chang likes Harry Potter because mm-hmm. she likes his Dragon D.
Right.
And Luna likes Harry Potter, and that's it, right?
Oh, I mean, they rallied the Ravenclaws, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, apparently they did. It just surprised me that this seemingly reasonable deal, like, mm-hmm. give me this kid that you don't like very much and I won't kill you all. Only the Slytherins were the ones who did the math on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep,
yep. Yep. Harry figures out that maybe the Ravenclaw ghost knows where the lost diadem is, since nobody alive knows where it is. So he manages to find her.
Harry could really use a wisdom crown, right? I hope he keeps
that. I know, right? Yeah, I love it. He's like, you know, he doesn't have any better ideas. So he's like, I guess I'll start asking ghosts. I mean, a ghost is a soul, and I need to find an object that has a soul attached to it. So ask other souls, right? Mm-hmm. So he asks the Ravenclaw ghost.
It really works, though. We find out that the ghost of Ravenclaw is Rowena Ravenclaw's daughter. And she stole the diadem from her mother, and her mom sent a man after her to get her, and there's a murder-suicide, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that's the Bloody Baron, the other ghost.
Yeah, that's right. Really convenient.
Yeah, his backstory is way less cool than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I know,
disappointing.
Yeah.
But anyway, before she died, she hid the diadem in Albania and told Tom Riddle, and he went and got it. Mm-hmm. So that part of Voldemort's history is making a little more sense now.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just in Albania on a holiday. He went there because that was where he found one of the pieces. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And through that leap of logic, which Jeff is rolling his eyes about, Harry figures out that Voldemort must have hidden it somewhere in Hogwarts when he returned to ask Dumbledore for a job when it was obvious he didn't actually want the job.
Specifically on that one night when he came in for a job interview.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So it has to be somewhere in between the front door and Dumbledore's office. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he's figured that out. He runs into Hagrid. Hagrid and Grop have come to fight. They've run out of the mountains, left the mountains where they had been in hiding.
Nice. Yeah, shit's blowing up all around them.
Yeah, the battle has started.
Yeah.
And then we have Harry has a major brainwave. He remembers that last year when he had hidden Snape's old textbook, potions textbook, in the Room of Requirement, in order to remember where it was so he could go back and retrieve it, he had put he had taken an old effigy of a ugly wizard and put a wig and a tiara on it to remember where the book was and find it again. And that just happened to be the tiara or diadem.
That's right. The diadem is in Hogwarts' massive junk drawer.
So Harry comes to this logic because he knows for sure that no one else would have been there except him since Tom Riddle's day. So no kid at Hogwarts ever needed to hide something. In all that time.
No, people have been through it constantly. That's kind of the joke. Voldemort was wrong. Like, people go there all the time. Just they don't, you know, realize what it is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like Fred and George had been in there once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Malfoy spent an entire year in there.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? Voldemort was totally wrong about that. It's just weird logic.
Like, yeah, that was stupid to me when it's like Voldemort wouldn't have realized that other people knew the secret because, like, the whole thing about the room is it's, like, massive and it's just filled with all this crap that students have been trying to hide for years. Mm-hmm. You know, Trelawney's old alcohol bottles, you know, things like that. So, of course people would have known about it, even if they hadn't made the connection that it was some sort of magical thing that comes and goes.
I like Micah's explanation. Like, Harry Potter got to the right destination with the wrong logic.
Yeah. It's just kind of a dumb luck situation. But, you know, it worked, whatever, you know? But, yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, you know, Harry's been meandering around all this time, having a little stroll about, and Ron and Hermione actually did something useful.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah. They, it's actually, like, I will say that Ron did something for once, right? Like, I think it was his idea to check the, to go to the Chamber of Secrets, and he actually partial tongued his way in by just like kind of remembering what Harry Potter did and like kind of mimicking it. Yeah. I didn't know you could do that, but I'm glad it worked, I guess.
Yeah, they just. Who knows? That's probably real partial tongue.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Dude, that's racist. You can't say that.
Do they all sound alike to you?
Yeah, they do.
Snakes? You're snakest. So, yes, well done, Ron and Hermione. They managed to get into the Chamber of Secrets to take a bunch of basilisk fangs so they can destroy Horcruxes, and Hermione gets to destroy Hufflepuff's cup.
So now they've all gotten to do one.
Yeah, good for them.
That's nice.
There are two Horcruxes left. There's the diadem, and then there's Nagini, the snake, that they know of.
Because remember, the only reason they know that there are that many Horcruxes is because Dumbledore said he likes the number 7, and he didn't get to 7 when he was doing it.
That's right. That's sure. A good point. Yeah, they're... There's no way they know that there aren't like a bunch more, right?
Right.
Like literally dozens of them there could be.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing that was really bothering me. When Voldemort finds out that these Horcruxes are being destroyed, why doesn't he just go make another one? Like I guess it must take time. Like you have to kill someone, but otherwise, why doesn't he just go find some rando and just, you know.
He heals people every day. This is his thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it takes a while to do it or something.
We know it doesn't because he made one by accident. We found out later in this set of chapters that he kind of made one by accident.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have just gone and made like 200 more or something.
He doesn't
care about killing. It's fine.
Wait. Has Harry actually destroyed a Horcrux? I'm thinking about this.
The book. The
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So cuz Dumbledore did the ring and Harry did the book and then Ron did the necklace and then Hermione did the cup. So they've all gotten to do one.
Right. And Ron says they need to evacuate the hell selves, and Hermione kisses him because Ron is finally showing basic human decency. I'm so into that.
Yeah, that bar is really low, but you know, whatever.
Remember that time when you were like, yeah, we shouldn't send, you know, this enslaved race to be murdered? That's sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They enter the Room of Requirement where the diadem is stored, and they finally find it, and they're about to take it when Draco, Crabbe, and Goyle stop him.
Yeah, what Harry Potter story would be complete without a confrontation with his nemesis, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a big fight, the tiara is lost, and everybody is separated. And then things start getting creepy.
Yeah, Crabbe, apparently not as useless as he's always, you know, seemed. He casts this, like, crazy cursed fire that just eats everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like monsters.
Yeah, little monster, fire monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like fire made of monsters that chases them around.
Yeah.
Which is super awesome. I wish that we had learned that spell.
I know, right? Like, and Hermione's like, oh, I knew it. I just didn't want to use it because it's dangerous. I was like, dude.
Hermione. Yeah.
Like, Hermione, you like fire. Like, that's your thing. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry's like, you let my wand get broken.
Well, she can use it, and she let, and well, anyway, let's not jump ahead. Okay. So anyway, everybody's about to die, looking very dire, but Harry, Ron, and Hermione find some broomsticks. They rescue Malfoy and Goyle.
Yeah, and they, I thought it was strange that they took the time out to go get the diadem, which they got lucky and got at the last minute. Because isn't this exactly the sort of thing that breaks diadems?
Well, they didn't know that at first, I think. But yes, I mean, like, the Horcruxes aren't destroyed by normal things, like regular
fire. Then why not just leave it if it's not destroyed, right? Like, you can wait for this fire to go away.
That's
like,
true.
The whole situation is odd to me.
The only thing is that they had not put it together. They had not figured out that what Crab had created was fiend fire.
Well, so what Jeff is saying is, like, leave it and then come back later and, like, pick it out of the ashes or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like,
yeah.
It's clearly some kind of magic-destroying fire, so... Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought they took way too severe a chance to pull the thing they're trying to destroy out of the fire.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's a
we have to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but either way, this fire does destroy the Horcrux for them, which is nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
So Harry fails even at rescuing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Luckily, Harry does not save them.
That's a good point.
Hermione made me mad. It's like, you could have told us about this stuff earlier, you know?
Yeah, this is great. Like, what else, Hermione?
Yeah, because she's never mentioned that this could destroy Horcruxes, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've got this one spell that flies out of the world and destroys all the Horcruxes that exist, but I didn't think anybody would want to use that.
Right. It's too dangerous. So the tiara, the diadem is gone, is destroyed. That's good.
Yeah.
Fred and Percy show up and they're dueling, and I just have Fred equals dead.
Yeah, that's right. They narrowly escape this.
I spelled it D-E-D.
Yes. Fred is dead because it rhymes.
Fred's dead. Yeah. Fred's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, the battle for Hogwarts is not going well, and...
It's going really good, right? Kids versus Death Eaters? their deaths have not been eaten by, as much as I would have thought.
Well, that's a good point. Like, all things considered, it's going a lot better than one would expect for a bunch of students.
Yeah, it's not going perfectly, but right? You can't make an omelet without... letting a few students die.
I mean, it was not the first time it's happened at Hogwarts, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a castle, right? The castles are four.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping...
defending a position.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then something just blows
up. some random explosion occurs and breaks up the scrum and kills Fred, which is a real shame because he was the one with 2 ears, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Why couldn't it have been Ron, you know? Or maybe even Percy, right? Like,
yeah, right? Percy would be good, too.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
Or both of them.
Well, at least this way we have a spare, right? So.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because twins are only have half a soul anyway, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Does the other half of his soul go to George?
I think that was his Horcrux.
Twins are each other's Horcruxes.
But anyway, it's very sad. But nobody has time to process it. Chapter 32, The Elder Wand. Harry goes into Voldemort's mind, which is convenient, and realizes that he is in the Shrieking Shack with Draco's dad, Aunt Nagini, who is under some sort of protective enchantment.
Yeah, it's funny because Hermione's like, okay, Ron, I know you want to go on a murder rampage, but like, go on a murder rampage in this direction. And Harry, you know that like wizard radio that I've been telling you the entire series to turn off? Just turn it way up. Let's find out what's going on here. We need some intel.
Mm-hmm. It works out well, though, but Voldemort has sent Draco's dad to find Snape. And he's just hanging out there in the Shrieking Shack because he knows Harry will come to him.
Yeah, we're doing a tour of Harry Potter's greatest hits. So we're going to go to the Shrieking Shack next.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I just want to say, it's very, very lame to me that none of the kids that he passes are dueling to kill.
Oh, I know.
Like, they're all doing, like, Hermione does this dumb, like, the stone stairs turn into, like, a slide
Glissio.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, these guys are...
Well, they don't necessarily know how to do killing spells,
so,
right?
Well, here's the thing.
If they do, they haven't practiced them very much.
They know Avada Kedavra, because everyone knows Avada Kedavra.
Apparently.
But I'm not sure that Hermione didn't kill those guys, remember?
Right, because she's put a big wall up.
Yeah.
There was a crunching noise.
They mentioned a sickening crunch as the Death Eaters hit the wall.
I know, but there's a lot of, like, trying to do, like, full body binds and stunning spells and stuff. And just, like, Like, you don't... There's nothing saying, like, you have to take prisoners, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, why bother? These people are pure evil. Just let them die.
This is a war, right? Like, this is very, like, you know, this has a very, like, battlefield. Like, this whole chapter is, like, chaotic as they're going through and there's explosions happening around them. It feels very, like, trench warfare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as they pass by Malfoy, they punch him in the face.
Well, they save his life because he's like...
They save his life and then they punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And then Weasley says, remember that we saved your life, you two-faced git. And it occurs to me that Malfoy is not two-faced. That is not fair.
Yeah.
He's never shown
what you
anything.
See is what you get.
Yeah, yeah. He's you know where Malfoy is at all times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And emotionally, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the most honest person in these books.
It might be. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So there are a lot of things you could call Malfoy, but that was not really necessarily a fair insult.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I hate to take Slytherin side again. I just thought that insult was a little. Ron went too far there.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And it is sad. Fenrir Greyback has probably killed Lavender Brown.
Oh, you think she's dead?
He says he's over, a werewolf is savaging her feebly stirring body. So It's not looking good for Lavender.
Yeah, maybe she's going to turn into a werewolf.
She'll be a werewolf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. And well, she'll be like a, it'll be like the, you know, how they call him Fenrir Greyback. His birth name probably wasn't Greyback, right?
That's a good point.
She'll probably get like a cool werewolf name. Like,
oh, yeah. Lavender Sharptooth.
Right, yeah. Lavender Moonhowler.
Yeah. That's, I mean, do you get to pick your own? Is there like some werewolf ritual where you get named?
That's a really good question.
We need to know more about werewolf culture, don't we?
Yeah.
I feel like there are all these magical creatures, but they're all in interesting like histories and cultures that I, you know, it'd be great if there were a class at Hogwarts where you learned about all this stuff.
What I wonder if Lavender would have lavender fur, right?
Probably.
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be nifty?
That'd be really cool.
I mean, she's so lucky.
But yeah, this fight gets wild. There's like spiders, there's giants, there's dementors.
Yeah, Hagrid gets taken by the spiders, which may or may not be bad for him. It's not clear.
Unclear, yeah.
It is. But the dementors show up, which is terrible. And Ron, Harry, and Hermione are having trouble with their Patronuses, but they're saved by Luna, Ernie, and Seamus.
Yeah.
And once again, Luna is my absolute favorite character. There's a very... I overuse the word sweet with her, but it is really nice.
Oh, yeah, Luna's great.
Yes. Harry's trying really, really hard to produce his Patronus, and he just can't. He's devastated by Fred just dying. That's right, said Luna encouragingly, as if they were back in the room of requirement, and this was simply spell practice for the DA. That's right, Harry. Come on, think of something happy. Something happy, he said, his voice cracked. We're all still here, she whispered. We're still fighting. Come on now. There was a silver spark, then a wavering light, and then, with the greatest effort it had ever cost him, the stag burst forth from the end of Harry's wand.
Yep.
I thought that was nice.
She's super underestimated, Luna, you know?
She just in general. She is amazing. Yeah. But, and then we have a really fun callback to book one, because Ron and Hermione and Harry are running out to the grounds to the Whomping Willow to get into the Shrieking Shack. And Ron can't figure out how to stop the Whomping Willow. And Hermione says, are you a wizard or not? Which came directly from book one. And then Ron uses, or one of them uses Wingardium Leviosa, which is also one of the very first spells they learned,
yeah,
which Hermione gave Ron shit about.
That's so. Right. Yeah, it's great. It's like...
It was fun.
He's like, how are we gonna hit the pause button? She's like, you're a fucking wizard too. Use some fucking magic.
Yeah. Remember that spell you learned literally 6.5 years ago? Mm-hmm. But they go to the Shrieking Shack with the goal of killing Nagini.
Mm-hmm.
They're hidden and they see Snape asking Voldemort to let him go find Harry and bring him to him. And Voldemort's like, nah, he's going to come.
Yeah, I love how everybody's like, Arch, why don't you go get Harry? And he's like, because he's gonna come to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm the most dangerous thing here. He's going to come straight here. and nobody believes him. He's
right.
Like, listen, I share a brain with this kid. I'm telling you.
Like, the only mistake Voldemort's made is he hasn't just announced where he is. He should have been like, everybody, I'm in the Shrieking Shack. I hope Harry Potter doesn't come here.
Right.
Yeah. And so he's right, right? Because Harry's absolutely. Literally in the room with them, or you know, yeah, as they're having this conversation.
There. The only thing he's wrong about is how fast Harry was going to get there.
Yeah. So Voldemort has sort of puzzled out the deal with the Death Stick.
Mm-hmm.
He figures that he has to kill Snape, who became the master of the Death Stick by killing Dumbledore. Is what Voldemort mm-hmm. reasons out.
Yep.
Yeah, the Death Stickman.
Yeah.
So he gets Nagini to attack and kill Snape, and then leaves because now the Death Stick is his, truly his.
Yeah,
but he'll be unstoppable. Doesn't it belong to Nagini now?
Oh, that's true.
Come on, Voldemort.
Yeah, but
and now he has to kill Nagini. He's gonna have to kill his own Horcrux.
He's trapped.
What? Harry removes the invisibility cloak and goes to Snape, and Snape gives him some sort of memory and then dies.
Yeah, so this is this is interesting, right? Like, in the past, people have gotten memories out through, like, their temple or whatever, but it seems like Snape sort of, like, just vomits this out or something.
Is that out of his mouth and eyes and ears.
Yeah, that's not, is that normal? I feel like that's not normal.
Maybe when wizards die, that's what happens. You just have to, like, catch it.
He's like, take it. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he's with his dying breath, he gives Harry Potter some clues.
Yep. And mm-hmm. he says, look at me, which, if you catch it, is because everybody said for 7 fucking books that Harry has his mother's eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into the 17-year-old boy's eyes and pretend it's the woman I used to have fantasies.
His, like, hand slips up in the throat. Yeah, those are the eyes I like.
No, Harry's 17. It's okay, you guys.
Just don't break eye contact, please.
I mean, he's not his teacher anymore. He dropped out of school, so right. I guess it's okay.
It's all in the up and up.
Chapter 33, The Prince's Tale. Voldemort gets back on the magic intercom and tells them that fighting's going to stop for an hour. Harry needs to come meet him in the Forbidden Forest. Otherwise, Voldemort's going to join the battle and just destroy everybody.
Yeah, so temporary ceasefire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They go back to Hogwarts, and Remus and Tonks are dead, which is sad.
Yeah, so he's assessing the damage, and that's, Fred, Tonks, and Remus. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and a bunch of other people, but, we don't care about them.
Yeah, they don't have names.
Yeah, Harry doesn't care about them.
He doesn't see people. He just sees, whatever, numbers.
Harry takes Snape's memories up to the Pensieve in Dumbledore's old office.
Yeah, Harry knows it's all over, so he's like, to close out his farewell tour, he's like, I gotta go jam my face in some magic liquid
one more time. One last time. And
it turns out that Snape's dying act was to give Harry Potter a bunch of memories of Snape being horny for his mom.
Yeah, that's right.
We get a nice little montage there. Yeah,
it's funny because Harry's like, oh, I just need to escape my, like, depressing time in somebody else's memories. He's like, dude. He's like,
oh man,
these are really depressing memories.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking for an escape, and I don't imagine these made him feel much better.
And I didn't have a better way to do this than to just briefly go through each of them.
That's fine.
Okay. So we start with when Snape first meets Lily as a child and tells her she's a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Jump forward a little bit, and he's telling her about the magic world, including Azkaban and the Dementors, and Petunia overhears it. And that's funny because it goes back to one of the earlier books when Petunia says the Dementors are the ones who guard the wizarding prison Azkaban. And she's like, oh, well, I heard that nasty boy telling your mother. And we always thought that it was Harry's father, but it was actually Snape.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then we jump to platform 9 3/4 when Lily's about to go off to Hogwarts for the first time. And Petunia's being a huge jerk. She wrote to Dumbledore and asked to go to Hogwarts. And he said, sorry, too bad, you don't get to.
Yeah.
Which
is
sad.
You're not a wizard. You're not a wizard, not Harry.
I can understand how that would cause a lot of resentment, though. That's just so unfair.
Yeah, I mean, this tells you a lot about, the person that Petunia became, right? She mm-hmm. married this guy who was, like, the opposite of a wizard in every possible way.
Yeah, I guess so. I just feel like even if I was mad at them when I was a kid, I would like to keep the person who can cure cancer close.
Yeah, right.
Like, maintain cordial relations with the demigod in my family.
Well, she died a long time ago, right? So
yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, how depressing it would be if there was actually a world where people can do this amazing magic and your sister can and you can't just because, the university decided to randomly shit on you.
Yeah.
That'd be so disappointing.
And not only that, you're not allowed to be part of that world at all because you're because there's this super, whatever, that's like the secret rule that wizards aren't allowed to, like, share their magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you know it exists, you can't even, like, interact with that world. It's just like, oh yeah, it's really great over here. We can cure cancer. Oh, sorry.
That's not your cancer.
We literally have no example of a magical person and a non-magical person being friends or even having a relationship outside of maybe, like, Mrs. Fig, but she was still just, like, on the periphery of things anyway.
And she's from the wizarding world.
She was born into that.
I think the only example is Snape's parents. I think it's implied that his mother is a witch and his dad is not.
Yes.
And it doesn't sound like it's very good,
Yeah, and even then, I think it was it Dean or Seamus saying my mom was a witch and my dad wasn't magical and he like abandoned us or something. I don't remember which one of those two it was.
Yeah. That's what he says, but I wonder if she took him away because she'd want him to grow up around muggles.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so either way, I think it would really suck to be Petunia.
Yes, I agree. I feel sorry for her, mm-hmm. even though there is no excuse for being such a neglectful asshole.
True, yeah,
to
yeah.
An orphan.
Doesn't excuse her behavior with Harry at all.
It doesn't, but apparently this is just a world where children are punished for people not having liked their dead parents.
Right.
But we get on. It's true.
That's like the summary of Harry Potter.
Children are punished. For, yeah.
But we get onto the Hogwarts Express, and that's where we first meet James and Sirius. And then jump ahead, Lily is placed in Gryffindor. So,
yeah, this is where I started to think, these are Severus Snape's memories.
Yes.
Memories are fickle, right?
Sure.
Like, mm-hmm. your memories are not accurate at all. They have a spin on them, right?
Right.
So this is Severus Snape's idea of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes him look like a total creep. So what actually happened was probably a lot worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Snape is not a good person, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Then we jump ahead to a memory from a few years later. Lily and Snape are arguing about him hanging out with people who we know become future Death Eaters.
Mm-hmm.
And she brings up how James had saved Snape's life the day that Snape tried to get into the Shrieking Shack, which is where Werewolf Lupin was. Mm-hmm. So I guess technically he saved his life, but still,
yeah.
An asshole.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who enticed Snape to go there in the first place.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then we see the memory that Harry had seen before where Snape is being tormented by James and he calls Lily a mudblood. Jump ahead, Lily tells Snape that they're no longer friends. And then we go to years later after they graduate from Hogwarts and it's an adult Snape who's working for Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's the one who heard part of the prophecy that Trelawney gave about Harry Potter and Voldemort and reported it to Voldemort. Voldemort intends to kill Lily, of course, and Snape desperately wants Dumbledore to help. He had begged Voldemort to save Lily's life, but knows that Voldemort's just going to frag everyone.
Yeah.
So he's gone to Dumbledore, and in return, he says he'll give Dumbledore anything at all, and that, I guess, is when he became a double agent.
That's my impression.
Mm-hmm. Then going a little further ahead, it's right after Harry's parents are killed, and Dumbledore gets Snape to promise to protect Harry. And jumping ahead
Snape makes Dumbledore promise never to tell Harry that Snape is on his side.
Right.
Ever. Which didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Well, Dumbledore didn't think it made sense either, because, right? Like, so you want me to keep a secret?
Why does Snape want that?
Because he's... I don't know.
Because the plot needed it to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that explains why Snape has never mentioned this for the past 6 books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Right.
It's very arbitrary.
Yeah. It's a little arbitrary. We jump forward a few years later to Snape bitching about Harry to Dumbledore. And Dumbledore says, keep an eye on Quirrell, won't you? Because apparently Dumbledore didn't realize that Quirrell's, his new teacher's head, was also occupied by Voldemort.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Dumbledore is like a great wizard. You think he would have like picked something like that up, right? No?
I think it says a lot about his management style or lack of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We go forward to the night of the Yule Ball when he was providing information about Voldemort to Dumbledore. And then we jump, this is when it starts to get interesting. We jump to the night that Dumbledore has gotten and destroyed the Gaunt's ring. And he's real, real sick. There's a curse that apparently the ring placed on Dumbledore when he put it on his finger. Says, I was a fool, sorely tempted. I don't know why he tried to put this ring on.
I do.
Why?
Because it's the Death Stone, right? He was trying to use it. That was my interpretation, is that he was trying to use the stone.
Oh.
Because this is
the stone. To get back Ariana, because that's like supposed to be his thing.
Ariana or, you know, some, probably Ariana, yeah.
Okay, smart. Okay,
or
I had not realized that.
Or, I was going to say, or Grindelwald, depending on how you interpret that relationship.
Yeah.
Except Grindelwald isn't dead. So it had to be Ariana.
He's not dead?
He wasn't dead at that point. He dies during this book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Voldemort kills him in the wizard prison, remember?
No.
It's not important.
So Snape manages to trap the curse in Dumbledore's hand, but eventually it will kill him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he was already going to die.
He gets Snape to promise that not only is he going to protect the students at Hogwarts, but he's going to help Draco, who's been ordered to kill Dumbledore, and he's going to have to kill Dumbledore himself. So Snape killed Dumbledore, but because he was told to do so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting rereading this, because I think this chapter is is a very divisive chapter among the Harry Potter fans, right? Because it's written as if it's meant to be a redemption of Snape's character, and this is a revelation that's supposed to be you thought Snape was evil, but he's actually this heroic character. Or at least that's the idea, is like, mm-hmm. Snape's actually a hero, not what you thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and some people take it that way, but a lot of people look at this and are like, no, Snape is still a big creep. You know, mm-hmm. This is just he's holding this torch for somebody who he was actually not kind of shitty to, right? I don't know.
I don't find it believable at all. This is so contrived.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to secretly protect Harry Potter, and I'm secretly working for Dumbledore, and there's this curse that one person tried to reverse, but he gave up on it, so we're never going to try and reverse it again. And instead, Dumbledore's going to say, well, just kill me then. And Snape is never going to tell Harry Potter about this, even when it directly interferes with his goal of protecting Harry Potter. Because J.K. Rowling didn't think of it until this book. Because this is retcon. It's BS.
I don't think it was this book, but I think that there is...
The last book, because he had the janky hand in the last book, so...
Yeah, I do wonder how far back this is something we talked about before, but the Deathly Hallows, I wonder how far back she decided that these were the Deathly Hallows, and I don't think it was that far back, you know what I mean? Like Harry Potter's invisibility cloak, I'm pretty sure she didn't write book one when that was going to be a Deathly Hallow, you know what I mean? It feels a lot retconned, but you know.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. No.
I have nothing to add. I just adore everything about this. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Snape as is he heroic? Is he a big old douche?
Well, he's supposed to be a complex character, right? Yeah. I mean, he definitely falls down more on the side of douche, though, mm-hmm. to me. He does. Because, there's really no excuse for an adult being that much of an asshole to an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And that, as a teacher and a human, that, personally offended me how just ridiculously oversized mean he was to Harry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you didn't like Harry's dad, but get over it.
Yeah, and he was a Death Eater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was.
Which is bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and arguably he still hated Muggles and did all the, believed all the Death Eater things. Lily just happened to be an exception, right?
I give Dumbledore a pass for being a wizard Nazi when he was a teenager, right? But I don't give Snape, because Snape doesn't seem to have changed his mind.
Yeah.
It's just that he's got this weird boner for this girl that he met when he was 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
That he's carrying with him forever and ever and ever. And it governs his entire life. This is crazy.
It's obsession. It's a sick obsession.
Yeah. I also think this is interesting because seeing Dumbledore from this perspective is not actually very flattering for Dumbledore. He seems very calculating and cold in these memories, you know?
It is. And we should, let's get to that and talk about that. Dumbledore, next memory, Dumbledore tells Snape that there's going to be a time when Voldemort's going to stop sending Nagini out. And that's when you need to tell Harry that when Voldemort was blasted apart the night he tried to kill Harry and his parents, a part of his soul latched onto Harry. That's why Harry can speak to snakes and why he has that mind connection with Voldemort. And so Harry has to be killed by Voldemort in order for Voldemort to die.
Yeah.
And Snape is like, what the fuck? I think he says, you literally kept him alive like a pig for slaughter. Dumbledore's like, well, does it mean you actually like Harry? And Snape says, no. And he does a Patronum and it's a doe. Which is Lily, was Lily's Patronus.
Yeah.
And the famous line, Dumbledore turns to Snape with tears in his eyes and says, after all this time, and Snape replies, always.
And then the deodorant commercial logo comes up. Always. It's a women's deodorant.
Wow.
No.
I've seen a lot of really beautiful fan art around that, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty sweet line. And then just some other stuff, Dumbledore telling Snape to use the decoys the night Harry Potter left Privet Drive at the beginning of the school year. We find out, though, this is nice, because we thought that Snape had deliberately cut off George's ear. He had actually been saving Lupin's life, but his curse or whatever accidentally cut off George's ear.
Yeah.
Snape stole Lily's letter and picture. Who cares? And he's the one who planted the Gryffindor sword in the lake for Harry to find. And the reason it was actually in the pond or whatever it was, because it must be taken under conditions of need and valor.
Yeah, that's right.
The end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like a... This closes a lot of, like, the questions that existed up until now, but it's kind of a huge, like, info dump, you know?
It is. It really is.
Like, it strains credulity that Dumbledore foresaw events to this level of specificity. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Right. Unless he was... making them happen.
Even after he's dead, if indeed he is dead.
Yeah.
And he's not Hermione.
What a sorting hat.
I mean, like, the stone beats death, right? Or something like that?
What?
The
resurrection ring, stone.
The resurrection stone.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he just transferred himself into Hermione's body.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That would explain a lot about Hermione being able to do all these spells that we've never heard of, right?
Exactly, right? It all makes sense.
Yeah, she knew about Fiendfire. Where'd she learn about Fiendfire, I wonder?
My old friend Grindelwald. I mean, I read it in the book.
So convenient. Well, whatever. I'm a sucker for a good memory montage.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Having reread these now, it does... I do see why people have a big problem with, like, Snape as... Like, is this romantic or is this creepy? And it's like, it kind of goes a little bit both ways, I guess. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something, the danger of obsessive love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it does complicate Snape's character a little bit, which doesn't really matter anymore because he's dead.
Yeah, it's true. Super dead.
Yeah. And that is where we end. Voldemort is still alive, waiting for Harry to show up and...
Harry has a bunch of info, and I guess Harry now knows that he's supposed to die.
Yeah, Harry knows he has to die. He has to be killed by Voldemort for it to all be over.
I have a question.
Why Voldemort? Couldn't he just eat a basilisk fang or something?
Well, Dumbledore seemed to think that Harry had to be killed by Voldemort.
I wasn't super clear on why. I guess Voldemort had destroyed himself because Harry is part of him.
Maybe Dumbledore just thought it would be funny.
I wonder, that would be so ironic. Do you think that they have to kill Nagini before they kill Voldemort?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, I wouldn't think so, right? Like, it doesn't matter.
So if they killed Harry and they killed Voldemort, but Nagini was still alive, how would that work?
Well, they'd have to...
No, Voldemort would still be around in, like, spirit form, right?
Okay.
Whole thing.
Yeah, but then they just kill Nagini, right?
No, that's true.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, they seem really focused on the order of operations here, and I just don't know if that's that important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. Just kill... Like, once Voldemort's gone, it's a lot easier to kill those Horcruxes.
Yeah. So he's pretty easy to kill, a snake.
I guess just the thing is, Voldemort just literally could not die. Like, what if they dropped Voldemort's body into, like, a volcano, but Nagini was still around? How would that work?
Well, so Voldemort didn't have a body, remember?
Like, so, yeah, so it would just be another, like, they'd have to do spells and shit to...
Yeah, make him a new body.
Like, yeah, give him a new body.
That's, yeah, because he wandered around in Albania as a ghost for a while, right?
Yeah, and then he got the baby body.
Didn't you go into Quirrell's head?
After that, he had a baby body. So he was... First he was in Quirrell's head, and he was just a face.
Wait,
and,
but he wasn't there the whole time. Where was he... Like, he was in Quirrell's head since, like, a million years ago.
He was living, like, a half-existence as, like, a ghost or something in Albania.
Yeah.
And then Quirrell showed up when he was doing his little, like, world tour thing. And he got stuck in... Yeah, there's... if you go to Pottermore, there's a whole thing that goes through the history of Quirrell and explains a little more about that, how that happened. But, okay, so...
So now, Harry Potter's got to go kill Nagini and then die to Voldemort.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
then we're all done.
Then we're done.
Then there's a bunch of Death Eaters and Giants and Dementors.
Well, they'll all just blow up when Voldemort dies, right?
Do they? I mean, are they?
If I was Voldemort, I would cast spells on them all that made them all blow up when I died.
Oh, that's a good point. That'll make them, like, a lot more interested in keeping you alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Voldemort's a bad boss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just killed Snape. Snape's his number one guy.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, he thought that he had to. He did say he regretted it.
Yeah, I think he was just saying that to be a jerk. I don't think he really regretted it.
Well, it's like, I don't think he would have killed Snape for anything less than the Death Stick, the Allegiance of the Death Stick.
That's a great name for
a good name, yeah.
The Death Stick.
Vesic. It's a stick that makes death. Yeah, it's a good name.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it says on the label, right?
Need some death? Get that stick.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's episode. Next time, we're going to be covering chapters 34 through the end of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the seventh and final book in the Harry Potter series. And then we're going to watch the movies and podcast about them. I am Alice Sullivan. That's at Alice M. Sullivan on Twitter and Bluebonnet Cafe on Instagram.
I'm Jeff Lake. That's at Jeff_Lake on Twitter.
I'm Micah Sparkman. I still don't have one of those.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please drop us a line at hello@mwapodcast.com.
We love hearing from you.
Please share this with anyone you think will like this. Please give us good reviews. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/armadillopodcastingclub. Please like us in real life.
We're just so likable.
Until next time.
Finite Podcast.